Good evening. I'm Amy Guida with the University of Illinois College of Law and legal commentator for Illinois Public Radio. Tonight, a special talking point focusing on The Chief, the film and the focus of debate at the University of Illinois. Is Chief Alinowick an honored symbol or a racist mascot? Here to answer that question, Mark Herman, owner of Flushing Pheasant Video Productions. He produced The Chief and interviewed many of the people in the film. Carol Spindell, who teaches at the University of Illinois. She is the author of Dancing at Halftime, Sports and the Controversy Over American Indian Mascots. Jean Edwards, who founded the first group supporting Chief Alinowick. She is now a board member of the Chief Alinowick Educational Foundation, and she co-produced The Chief. Sid Crew, president of the National Coalition on Racism in Sports and Media, mother of a Shoshone Bannock son. Mike Drish, a junior at the University of Illinois and president of Students for Chief Alinowick. He's kindly agreed to appear on the program in John Madigan's place. Mr. Madigan is the current Chief Alinowick. He'd agreed to appear on the program and canceled suddenly yesterday afternoon. And Brooke Anderson with the Progressive Action Resource Cooperative, a group actively opposing Chief Alinowick. And we'd like you to join our discussion. If you'd like to ask any of our guests a question, please email it to talkingpoint, that's all one word, at will.uiuc.edu. We'll put that address up on the screen throughout our discussion. As a reminder, you can email us throughout the evening. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Ms. Crew, I would like to start with you.
Okay.
What do you see when you see a film like The Chief?
Well, it makes me really angry. It makes my son, he feels humiliated. And the reason is that while those that are portraying the chief feel that they're being respectful, those whose traditions they're using feel mocked. It's a mockery. If the chief were to go to a powwow or a dance and enter a powwow, the drums would stop and dance that way. The drums would stop and the elders would escort them out. It would be seen as a mockery.
So do you see this film then as a mockery of Indian Native American tradition?
I don't see the film necessarily as a mockery. I see the film as an effort to do a history of what those that like Chief Alinowick, that love Chief Alinowick, feel is respectful about Chief Alinowick. That's the way I see the film. But they do not see what Native people see when they see people dress up and dance in that way.
And Mrs. Edwards, would you like to respond to those concerns?
I can understand that she is concerned. We have always looked upon the dance as a part of fancy dancing, nothing that was religious, nothing that was to be of the same quality of any kind of a situation in the Native American field that was meaningful to a religion or anything of that nature. It is simply a portrayal at the time.
But what do you say to people, and I guess any one of you can join in here if you'd like, what do you say to people who are extraordinarily hurt by this, who actually weep when the chief comes out during athletic events?
It's just very hard for us to understand that because our feeling is one of honor. We think that we are honoring the Native American Indian by doing this. We feel that it increases interest in the educationally in Indians, and started out that way with Boy Scouts and then has gone on to our plateau at this time.
When you see the montage of dancing at the end, Ms. Spindell, what do you think?
Well, it's obviously a love letter. It's a sort of Valentine by the people who care about this. It's a film that's all about their attachment and their feelings. It's hard to argue with people's feelings. I believe they do feel strongly.
Just as the other side does. How do you counter, then, that type of emotion, Ms. Anderson? I mean, you're dealing with people who really care, I mean, who have heartfelt emotion over Chief Alinowick.
I don't think the question is so much, are those emotions what should determine the fate of Chief Illiniwek? What matters most is that the chief is taking the most sacred elements of political and religious culture in Native American society and parading those about a football field. And somehow, at this university, the chills that Susan Gravenhorst, Board of Trustees member, feels up and down her spine when she sees the chief has become more important to this university than the voices of Native students who have spoken out against the chief, and more important than the dozens of National Native organizations that have repeatedly over the last decade called for the chief's elimination.
That's right.
Any response to that?
Well, I would say I can agree with Brooke that it's not just about the feeling. I believe that the chief is much deeper than just witnessing a halftime show. I think there's 75 years of tradition behind it, honorable tradition, that many people hold dear to them. And that's not the one reason to keep the chief. There are many factual, there's much factual evidence to keep the chief. And I believe that is what needs to be looked at.
Well, let's get back to the... Oh, go ahead, Mrs.
Edwards. It's the difference between being a mascot and being a symbol. To us, it is a symbol of all that is good in mankind, not a mascot that makes fun of things.
And Ms. Crew, does that distinction matter at all to you?
No, it's irrelevant, whether it's a symbol or a mascot to me. What matters to me is that is Native children, the Native youth, their self-identity, the images in the media. And when every national Native organization says, this is wrong, please stop, this is hurting our children, then it cannot be honorable anymore.
And Mr. Herman, as the producer of this film, how do you respond to that?
Well, as you heard some of the people involved that I interviewed throughout the program discuss, they talked about it being an expression. Something that they just did as an expression for the university. The chiefs, the former chiefs themselves, talked about being an ambassador for the University of Illinois.
How about the argument that that this is really about them, about their egos? They really want to be actors. And during the film, they talked about things like thrilling fans with the quick kicks, thrilling the crowd. It's like running to the edge of a cliff and jumping off. I don't recall what he said. isn't that really about that person's ego as opposed to a broader sense of Chief Illiniwek?
I don't agree that it's ego, because I think they feel so trusted to have been allowed to assume this role, to be a part of the University of Illinois and represent it. They do it from their heart. They're part of this whole expression of passion that's going on here. I don't think they're doing it as actors wanting to do it just for that reason.
I don't think anybody would argue that those young men who are chosen to represent the chief, when they say one after the other, this was the most fulfilling experience of my life, this was thrilling when 60,000 fans cheered for me, no one would argue with that. In fact, I wouldn't argue that they benefit. I'm sure they did benefit from having that experience. But I think we have to step back from that. The question is, the University of Illinois is the flagship institution of the state of Illinois. Therefore, whatever symbol it uses is a public symbol. Therefore, we have to ask the question, is this, going into the 21st century, an appropriate public symbol for our public educational institution? And I think the answer is no.
React to that, if you would, please. Mr. Drish, you're a student here.
Yes, I would like to say that I believe it is an appropriate symbol, because as the flagship institution of the state of Illinois, well over 63% of state residents, 75% of those downstate support the symbol. The university is turning applicants away. We have more students from all 50 states that want to come here. And if there was a problem with the symbol of the university, that would be shown in admissions.
And I think some people would argue in response that that may be true, but how about applications from Native Americans, for example?
I don't think that the University of Illinois, if a Native American wants to study Native American studies, this would not be the institution to come from. We do have the equal percentage of Native American students to the state population.
Ms. Anderson, you want to get in here.
Sure. You know, sure, we have Native Americans on this campus, but the Board of Trustees, the governing body of this institution, members of this board have told Native students who have written to them complaining that the chief violates their rights to non-discrimination in the university's mission statement. Board of Trustees members have told Native American students to leave this campus if they don't like this chief.
That's right.
And somehow, that's right. This Board of Trustees, whether it's the history of Native Americans in this country that have faced genocide, the board feels like the Native American population is a population that can be subjugated, and we will never have a Native American studies program or cultural program on this campus until the university no longer has an international reputation for being a racist institution.
Ms. Crew, do you want to explain a little bit about what happened with your son?
Well, the use of the chief by the University of Illinois permeates this community, and it creates a racially hostile environment for children in the school. This argument just spills over everywhere in this community. And my son is a dancer, and he is Native American, and he has had to leave this community. He's only 13, and he's had to leave this community because of the race hate against real Native Americans. And I think the incongruity here is that everyone loves this fake Indian, but real Indians, they don't want. And actually ridicule and force out of our community. So,
and your response to that?
I'm flabbergasted if that's the truth, because I can't imagine it going on. It's so close to you that you see it as a gigantic thing, but I can't imagine that these students that are only 12 are acting that way.
Ms. Edwards, when you say that Indian people should not feel this way when they see the chief, that is a racist statement in and of itself, to tell Native American people that their experiences and their feelings and their history are invalid. That is a racist statement in and of itself, and is part of the problem on this university.
It's hard for children, but it's not just children, because in the course of writing my book, I followed Native leaders around as they went to speak to people in power. I followed them as they went to speak to school boards, the university trustees, the state of Illinois legislators, and I was actually incredibly shocked and dismayed. In fact, it's what ended up making me decide this was important, and I had to write a book about it, at the way they were dismissed and they were discounted. They would come forward, they would say, we have these serious concerns about this, we'd like to sit down and talk about them. I found their concerns legitimate and sincere. I thought they should be listened to. They were always, every time, attacked, discounted, ignored, dismissed.
And you know what, though? On the other side, there have been a number of people who've said to me, who I suppose are fairly apathetic about the chief, you know what? We have so many other things to worry about. This is so small. How do you react to that sentiment?
I think the university has handled this very badly, to have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and 12 years wasting on this issue when they could have resolved it quickly. They could see the writing on the wall. The question is not, will the chief be retired, but when and how? And they ought to address that, and they ought to then put those resources into what really matters,
and
educating the young people of Illinois.
Mr. Drish, do you agree with that? Do you see the chief being retired anytime soon?
No, I don't. And I believe that the Board of Trustees is acting in the best interest of the citizens of Illinois who they represent. They are entrusted with the decision on Chief Leinwick by the state of Illinois, by the citizens and the students that are members of the University of Illinois, and that is their job.
But should this be a popular vote when there are people out there who are deeply wounded by this?
The people that are deeply wounded are not citizens of the state of Illinois. They're from other, may be certain citizens.
I don't
citizens.
Think that's true.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. I'm an alumna of the university.
I would like to answer if I could. You know, I didn't really get a statement out there.
No,
I would just like to say
continue.
There are, I'm sure, many residents of the state of Illinois. However, the majority of the citizens of Illinois are in support of Chief Leinwick, and the board has to cater to the majority. That is their job.
This is not a popularity contest. No. If we would have put slavery to a vote when abolitionists were organizing, if we would have put women's right to vote, to a vote when they didn't even have a vote, just like Native Americans on this campus don't have a voice, there would have never been change. There would have never been progress. This is an issue of conscience, and people of conscience are speaking out all over the world against this issue, and that's what needs to be heard. Are you going to stand up for justice, or are you going to continue racist practices?
Reaction? I will stand up for justice because justice is the decision is the board's, and that is just and that is law. That is the way the state and the system has been set up, and we must follow the system or we have anarchy.
And Mrs. Edwards, it looks like...
Well, and I believe that in the life of reservation Native American Indians today, this is very, very low on their agenda.
Well, if you go to the website of the National Congress of American Indians, which is the largest, oldest, and most representative Native organization in this country, they list the 17 issues that they feel are the most important facing them today. And one of them is mascots and anti-defamation.
And let me interrupt there, I'm sorry to say. I think we need to turn to some of the email questions that have come in. And the first one is from Champaign Urbana. And this one, I believe, is to you, Mr. Herman. Were the performance of Chief Illiniwek and the use of the chief's regalia that were filmed specifically for inclusion in the video The Chief approved ahead of time by the University of Illinois? If so, who gave that approval? If not, please explain why you took it upon yourself to engage in that performance and use university property without approval.
Hmm. Absolutely. There was without question, prior approval given from the band department for the use of the historical, the old regalia, and the chancellor's office then gave approval for the use of the performance.
And the use of the property as well. I think that was one of the questions
yes.
here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyone want to respond?
Well, it's my understanding from the president's office that no permission was asked or given. He did say that I do understand that if there had been permission asked, that it would have been given. But it's my understanding there was no permission asked for the present chief to wear his present regalia outfit for this film.
Mr. Drish?
According to the university system, to ask the chancellor's office, if they contacted that, the chancellor's office is the official office of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The president's office would not be contacted about that, and they probably would not have an answer in regard to that until they spoke to the chancellor's office.
Okay, and we'll move on to the next emailed question, which is from Minnesota, courtesy of the wonders of the Internet. Say you have a German university in one of those areas where the Jewish population was persecuted and decimated, where those who hadn't been murdered outright had either been pushed out or had to flee for their lives. This university decides to name its sports teams the Fighting Hebrews and use Rabbi Goldstein. At sporting events, a Gentile comes out, dresses up in Rabbi Goldstein outfit. It's in honor of the Jews that used to live here, they're told. How is that any different from what is happening at the University of Illinois?
Well, first of all, I would say the rabbi is a religious figure. Chief Illiniwek is not a religious figure.
The chief, right. Chiefs are religious figures.
Chiefs
they are the highest
the
political
tribe,
and religious chief
in the
leaders.
Chiefs in the Illiniwek tribe were war leaders, not religious leaders. If you check the history, they were war leaders.
I think if you understand something very basic about Native American life, which I'm learning about and have listened to people about, that they do not make the distinction that we make between sacred and secular. Our Constitution, our way of government, is founded on the idea that you can make this distinction, but Native American culture does not. Therefore, everything secular has a sacred quality. Everything sacred is also secular. There just isn't this distinction.
But then we can't compare ever. I mean, there's no...
Well, we have to acknowledge that it has a spiritual meaning.
And if you want to talk about Native history, let's really talk about the history of genocide in this country. Native Americans, since Columbus arrived, have been exploited, you know, chronologically in the name of God, gold, land, coal, uranium, and now as sports teams' mascots. And my understanding of genocide is, first, people are slaughtered, second, their land is taken, and third, their culture is appropriated. And what you are currently doing by appropriating and saying we have the right to define Native Native culture, particularly in a community that used to be Native land where now Native people mm-hmm. do not have much of a voice, you are taking part in perpetuating genocide against Native peoples.
That's right.
We are defining Native culture of the state of Illinois. Not you, it's wrong to stereotype Native culture as one culture. That's not correct. You have to look at the diversity in Native culture. And we're looking at that diverse element.
Well, if you're talking about Illinois Indian culture, are you done? I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
I would just like to finish, but you go right ahead. You felt you had to speak, so you go right ahead.
Well, I would say that if you're talking about Illinois Indian culture, I've been researching this for a number of years, and I go around campus and I ask a lot of people about the Illinois Indians. I ask students and I ask community members. I have not found anybody who knows anything accurate about the Illinois Indians. And I never do I hear mentioned, why aren't the Illinois Indians here? They're not extinct. They have descendants. They have descendants in southern Illinois. They have descendants in Oklahoma. But they're not here right now because of the American government's removal policy. They were forcibly relocated in the 1830s. And this charming view of history that Chief Alinowick presents ignores that.
And why do you say charming? I realize you're being facetious, but what do you mean by that? How is Chief Alinowick charming?
Well, he has very beautiful regalia on. He comes out and dances to very dramatic music. I think as theatrical performance, he's quite powerful. But you have to look at where he comes from. He's invented by the people who care about him, and they care about him. He's become part of their identity and their culture. They feel like something's being taken away from them. It's kind of like a custody battle. These people are saying this image belongs to us. These people are saying that you stole it from us. But if you look at the history of how that happened, if you'd let me tell a little bit about what the film doesn't tell, what the Boy Scout movement was really imitating were Wild West shows. And that's what most white Americans knew about Indian culture. That's what Chief Alinowick mm-hmm. looks like, and that's what modern-day halftime performances are. They're derived from Wild West shows. He looks like a Plains Indian Wild West show performer.
Amy, Mr. Herman?
I would disagree with that. Definitely, in the early days of the Boy Scouts, in its infancy, Ralph Hubbard was a person that we discussed mm-hmm. in the program that spoke and worked directly with Native Americans. He went to their powwows, and he gathered a great respect and love for Native Americans, worked with them, and kind of developed a rapport with them, and gave that information and shared that with other young men.
And when you actually went to one of these ceremonies, what is the sense you got from, was it the Order of the Eagle? Is that?
Order of the Arrow.
Order of the Arrow ceremony. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And what did you get from that?
Oh, it was quite stunning.
Mm-hmm. And why do you say that?
I guess just the atmosphere that was portrayed there. There was, it was a stunning scene. The entire Boy Scout group was gathered around, and they thoughtfully considered what was going on.
And Ms. Crew, what is the harm in that, then? Isn't this
first of
honoring
all,
Native Americans?
People do not encourage non-Natives to dress and dance at powwow. They do not. If you go to Native powwows, those put on at reservations, they do not, nor do they want, non-Indians dancing. So what is the harm? Mm-hmm. It is this appropriation of Indian ceremony, Native ceremony. In talking about, Mr. Drish was talking about, you know, not all Natives were the same. That's right. There's nothing Illini in Chief Alinowick. Nothing. And further on that, when you appropriate these ceremonies, every nation has their own ceremonies, their own religion. It was given to them by the Creator. And Boy Scouts make it a generic kind of ceremony. They don't have the right to use these ceremonies, and it's harmful.
How about the argument, though, when the Native Americans came to the football field and presented
We can talk about that. Frank Fool's Crow. There are several things that I would say that are not in the film. First of all, he's not a chief. He never was a chief.
Right.
He was a religious figure. And several people in the film call him a chief.
Red Cloud was the last chief.
Second of all, when Gary Smith went out to talk to him about obtaining new regalia, and I spoke with Gary Smith about this, Frank Fools Crow was in his 90s. He was a very elderly man. His house had just burned down. He was completely penniless. One of the things that he had saved three chief's regalias. Gary Smith appeared. They had a rapport. Gary Smith was respectful toward him and interested in his knowledge and learning from him. And when Gary Smith offered to buy one of those regalias for thousands of dollars, this was a very good thing for this elderly man who was penniless. He was then invited to come for a ceremony honoring him at halftime. He was flown out on a private plane, and he acquiesced. So I think you have to know those facts to put that in context.
Any response?
I think that's fairly accurate, without question.
Yes,
nothing wrong with that.
That's perfectly accurate, and that's
right?
The truth.
And that's supportive, then, of their argument.
Well, it sounds in the film as if he presented the regalia. The university purchased the regalia, and then he was invited as a ceremony to honor him, and he accepted.
Okay, let me move on here now to another email. Why would Native Americans who advocate the introduction of casino gambling to East Central Illinois, seemingly robbing individuals of their personal power, be held on a higher moral ground than Chief Illiniwek, who honors the warrior spirit, seemingly a positive influence to observers? This is not directed at anyone on this side.
I'm just appalled, because first of all, is this not their land? I mean, if they never ceded this land and it was taken inappropriately, is this not their land? And for the first time, Native people found a way to support themselves and build schools. The school my son goes to has a medical clinic and a wonderful cultural center, and that's supported by the tribal casino. So I really take exception to putting it in that language.
And do you sense a concern, though, of people out there who may be apathetic toward Chief Illiniwek getting angry about this whole notion
I think it's a further creating the further hostility towards Native people here. I mean, they want this fake Indian, but when Indian people are saying, hey, our treaty says that a certain amount of this land belongs to us, is our community welcoming the real descendants, people that belong here back? No.
Okay, now here's a question to this side of the panel about Chief Illiniwek. Can we not be more sophisticated? Can we not take a step back and look at the reality? Can we not accept the peaceful wishes of an indigenous people? Nicely said. Would you like to respond, Mrs. Edwards?
Well, I got to think that one over for a minute.
Yeah, Mr. Drift?
I would say we are being very professional, and I cannot say that we can decide if we are respecting wishes, because it's a much different era than it was when the last Illini Indians resided here. Chief Illiniwek is a symbol of the name of the state of Illinois, so it's hard to make that distinction.
Mr. Herman?
Well, one of the things that was discussed just a little bit earlier was about whether or not Native Americans really wanted anyone else besides a Native American to perform at halftime or do any type of a dance. And as you heard during the chief, literally probably half of the people that have been chiefs through the years have gone out to some of these reservations themselves and have performed as part of their powwow.
But I think, again, the other side to that is that, yeah, maybe so, but they're not Native Americans. They have white skin. They sometimes have blue eyes. It's not the same thing.
I think this is part of the problem, is the chief is being used to portray Native Americans as stuck in a mythological past, how we would have liked to have had the European colonization of this continent happen, as though it was a peaceful, sort of gracious meeting between enemies. And that's not how it was. It was full of bloodshed, and it's a painful history, and that's exactly why current contemporary Native Americans trying to forge current identities are asking that the chief be eliminated.
We have a question for this side of the panel, or actually a comment. I think the concept of respect is something greater than average is the, I think the concept of respect of something greater than average is the problem many of the anti-chief people don't understand.
I don't know what that means.
I'm assuming that this means honor.
When you put something on a pedestal, perhaps they're talking about. I think women have experienced that. In the past, women were put on pedestals. And, you know, it's a kind of romanticized stereotyping. It's still stereotyping. It's still not seeing people as individuals.
And it's not an honor if the people you're saying you're honoring aren't honored.
And that's a question actually for this side of the panel sent in. And why, if the chief is so honored here, why aren't there more Native American students on this campus? For example, when I set out to do this program, Native American students felt very uncomfortable about appearing on the program.
We are a state school. 0.2% of the student body is Native American. 0.2% of the state population is Native American. Illinois represents the Midwest in the population of Native Americans. It's not a large minority in the Midwest. We are a state school, a Midwest school. You can't expect to draw every Native American from around the nation to the state of Illinois. It's just not going to happen. But we do represent the state population.
Mrs. Edwards?
It's also very expensive for them to come here. They, first of all, would have to have help to just fly here, get here, pay for their room, because a lot of them can't afford to come to this university. A lot of people in town can't afford to go to this university. It's so expensive.
Could we have used the $300,000 that the Board of Trustees wasted on coming up with a sham dialogue that produced no new information? Could that have been put into a Native American scholarship fund? Could that have provided for 10 years of funding for a Native American dean that 2 years ago the university said they couldn't find the money for? Native students could be brought here through affirmative action, just like any other population. But high school counselors across the nation are having to counsel people not to come here if they don't want to be receiving death threats.
I spoke with Ben Forsyth, who lives in Great Falls, Montana, and he has children that go to that high school there, and mentioned that it's about a 50-50 split between Anglo-Saxon and Native Americans. Their actual nickname for that school is the Indians, and they actually have a halftime portrayal at that school. Both sides, all races, are quite proud of that heritage, that representation, and what happens.
Can you describe quickly what happens during halftime?
He described it to me as being literally identical to what happens here at halftime at the University of Illinois.
How about that argument?
I don't think the two situations are identical. If you're talking 50% of the population there, they have a say in developing that and formulating that. Here at the university, we have, I think, a population of 30,000 Native people in the state of Illinois. That's a very small percentage, and we do have a very small Native presence at this university. The chief was developed in 1920s. As part of the Indian lore movement. It was a white hobbyist movement of people who spent their weekends dressing as Indians, learning, dancing, pretending to be Indians. And that's what Chief Illiniwek developed out of. Native people had no part in that. They had no say in that. So I don't think it's appropriate for the University of Illinois.
Wasn't anybody here?
Mr. Herman, does your research jibe with that?
I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Actually, I would like to go a step further with that. Actually, Chief Illiniwek was created for the 1926 halftime between Illinois and Pennsylvania. The symbol of Pennsylvania was William Penn, the name of the state. University of Illinois, named after the Illinois Indians. What else would better symbolize the school than a Native American? It had nothing to do with stereotyping Indians. Just because they liked Indians, they chose an Indian to be at halftime. It was because of the state name and the name of the school.
But this was...
I would like to say something back up a little bit on the education. The National Indian Education Association provides grants for Native students to go to schools, and it is their policy not to send students to this school because of their experience when they get here. I mean, we do not have Native faculty. We did not get a Native basketball coach because of Chief Illiniwek, and he made that statement publicly. And so we are not getting Native faculty, we are not getting Native students, we are not getting athletes that are Native because of Chief Illiniwek.
And Mr. Drish, don't we need this?
I would say what you need to do is compare the University of Illinois to the Midwest and Big Ten schools, and then you may have a leg to stand on. However, we are right on par with the Midwest. And while we're in that geographical area of the nation, I wouldn't expect Native Americans to move from the lands they are now familiar with or have grown up on out west to Illinois just to satisfy some quota percentage in a native in a university faculty.
All right,
university
well, let's talk about Big Ten schools.
Okay.
You know, the Big Ten schools are not comfortable with Chief Illiniwek. He's not allowed at Iowa. He's not wanted at Minnesota and Wisconsin. Because of this, he doesn't go to any away games anymore because it would be embarrassing to point out that he can go some places and not others. So we're out of sync with the Big Ten.
And isn't that a concern? I mean, isn't that going to harm the University of Illinois' reputation
no,
as we go along here?
No, I don't think it's harming it at all. They can hardly get all the people who want to come here. All the different classifications here are on their top, second, third level of education. You take Forbes magazine, and we're rated very high in almost everything we have here in education.
And
it's not harming the
don't
university.
Don't we want this to be an education that's open to everyone? Don't we want right. the University of Illinois to hold true to its mission of non-discrimination and multicultural right. education? And that will never happen until the chief is gone. And that and the chief will never be gone until the Board of Trustees makes that vote. And they are not going to make that decision out of the goodwill of their heart. They do not have the best interests of students in mind, as you have said, Mike. They have their class interests in mind. And it's taken people organizing to get people of color on this campus at all, to get women into this campus. And it's going to take people organizing to get the chief off this campus and to really have multicultural education.
Mr. Drish?
I will agree with Brooke that the university does follow its statement, and actually, you cannot force people to come to the university. And personal preference, I mean, if they don't feel comfortable here, that's, I don't think that's the chief. I think that's personal.
But they say it is the chief, and they say that it is a very emotional thing for them that is keeping them from wanting to attend this great university.
I think that the chief, as the symbol, they realize that when they apply. And then to turn down that application doesn't make sense, because why to apply to an institution you wouldn't want to attend?
Let me move on here to another email, actually, a series of emails. This one capsulizes it nicely. It appears, based on this film anyway, that Chief Illiniwek is more about the traditions of Boy Scouting and the Boy Scouts' view of Native life than it is about the reality of life for Natives in Illinois. Regarding the chief's outfit, which is no doubt Native-made and is such authentic in your film, opened with a shot of the Natives in Illinois in loincloths. If authenticity to Indian life is what you claim the chief is, why not dress him in a loincloth?
Once again, most of those paintings were done by explorers and their parties in the beginning. And when did you do exploring? Certainly not in the winter. If I came to Illinois in the summer, what would we be wearing? Would we be wearing sweaters and pants? Of course not. That doesn't go, I mean, there's a lot of explanations for that.
And Mr. Herman, did you want to comment at all on
just in general,
Boy Scouting aspect of the comment?
Certainly, email was discussing the history, and I wanted to touch on the brief history of the state of Illinois and how it evolved into the state and then the University of Illinois. But also, in regards to the Boy Scout issue itself, only one portion of the entire tape was discussing Boy Scouting and its role in Chief Illiniwek.
Well, I think the Boy Scouts do have an important role in developing Chief Illiniwek, and I think the film is accurate in pointing that out. I'd like to point out that the Boy Scouts are a private club, and so are Indian lore hobbyists who still exist and who still dress like Indians and dance on weekends. And that's okay if they want to do that. That's their private business. But the University of Illinois is a state public institution, and I don't think it should be promoting these kind of attachments.
And again, I turn to this side of the panel for a reaction.
As long as the state approves of it, I see no reason why the university shouldn't continue.
All we're asking for is for the Board of Trustees to have a shred of moral backbone to fulfill its political obligation to make this an open university. And it is wrong for you to stand up here and say that you know better than Native people what they should be feeling in response to Chief Illiniwek.
That's right.
You may have the legal right to have a Chief Illiniwek on this campus, but you're making a serious moral problem for Native Americans on this campus.
I'm not saying that I'm speaking for Native Americans.
And what if the Board of Trustees one day votes to retire the chief? Will you then support that decision?
You have to. They're
the
Board of Trustees.
Yes, and it's their job.
We have no say in it.
And would you understand that decision?
If it's based upon the state of Illinois and the citizens' feelings, then yes.
So again, you think it should be a majority vote?
It's a state issue.
We've tried for years to show them that there are many people that still want to keep the chief, because a lot of the anti things have been very public. And the people that wanted to keep the chief are not public. They don't call up and they don't get in the paper. They don't do anything except respond as best they can.
Well, the people who want to keep the chief are in the status quo, so they're in the powerful position here. So, of course, other people have to speak up. But this is a moral issue. This is an issue of conscience. And every major...
I sure don't expect to be called in the status quo. I'm just an ordinary person that's been trying to do this for 11 years, and I'm nobody, Jane Doe, nothing.
And speaking from your heart with a lot of emotion, and that is what you are combating.
That's right.
That's
but
right.
I still feel that this is an issue. This is not really about how people who played Chief Leinwick feel. Yeah. This is not about how people feel when they see Chief
Leinwick. It's about justice.
And sadly, that's all the time we have for this evening. Okay. Thanks to each of my guests for being here. Mark Herman, who produced the documentary we saw tonight, The Chief. Carol Spindell, author of Dancing at Halftime, Sports and the Controversy Over American Indian Mascots. Gene Edwards, longtime supporter of Chief Leinwick and co-producer of The Chief. Sid Crewe. Tonight, Mike Drish, president of the Students for Chief Leinwick and a junior at the University of Illinois. And Brooke Anderson of the Progressive Action Resource Cooperative. And thanks to you for watching. WILL continues its coverage of the Chief Leinwick issue on March 7th. We'll be streaming the audio live on our website when the trustees meet to decide to talk about the chief. That's at www.will.uiuc.edu. Remember to check it out next month. You can hear the meeting live as it happens on our website. Thanks for joining us tonight for this special edition of Talking Point. We'll see you next time.